to in administering rooms like this. Joining us, members present are joining us at Teams. We have Representative Mike Kronk in the room. We have Representative Ortiz, Representative Fields, and myself, Representative Zelensky, Chair. The director refers that we have a quorum to conduct business. Members in the room, please take this time to silence your cell phones when they're muted on the meeting. And those attending remotely, please mute yourself if you're not speaking. Before we begin, as always, I'd like to thank the committee and the House Chair, the Floor Secretary for my comments and Alex Beatty for the Chair of Lighting for staffing the committee today. Today, we will be having a third hearing in House Bill 313 by the Senate Representative Zelensky relating to the Village Code Scheme to have a super plan. We also have Dr. Joel Harris, the Department of Public Safety, available to answer questions. I'd like to recognize and thank Commissioner Crockwell for joining us today as well. We are going to be taking on the considering the amendments to House Bill 313 and looking to the will of the committee. So let's begin. If I could ask Dr. Harris to talk to the testifier table and help walk us through the amendments. The four amendments offered by myself have been requested by the Department of Public Safety. For the purpose of conversation, I would entertain a motion to move Amendment 1. Thank you. I will object for the purpose of discussion. Dr. Howard, if you could introduce yourself, the member, and your guest for the report.
Good morning, Chair. I'm the Director of the Public Safety Officer Program for the Department of Public Safety. Following our supervised ads for support, something as simple as I'll explain it to them. And working with the sponsor, I've articulated that for quite some time this program has been more narrowly interpreted than I think was helpful to the program. And by adding this word, it gives a better foundation to understand that to support a program like this, to manage a program like this, to retain people in a rural program like this, they have to support it in different ways. And that can mean infrastructure, it can mean equipment, it can mean other things. And this just helps the department to interpret the statutes more widely.
Any questions or committee members? Understanding the purpose for Amendment Number 1, which is about to turn around, I am going to remove my objection. Is there any further objection to Amendment Number 1? It's in Amendment Number 1 has been adopted. I will make a motion for Amendment 2. If there are none, that's the object for the purpose of discussion. Dr. Harvey, if you would like to speak yourself, I will go ahead and walk us through Amendment Number 2.
Yes, Madam Chair, Joel Hart, Director of Social Security Officer Program for the Department of Public Safety. I wanted to, on page 4, following the word organization, at line 6, we would answer from the village, does not or, does not exist or. And at page 4, on page 312, we delete before awarding a grant to a municipality the person is now consult with a nonprofit region of the replace our last family organization that declines the grant. And instead insert if a nonprofit regional corporation or a last native organization declines the grant, the source will consult with the corporation or organization before awarding the grant to the municipality. So the first amendment to this first clarification in this amendment really articulates the solution to a problem that we've observed. Where we have at least one community that would like to be the SO, and they meet otherwise the criteria, but they don't have a nonprofit regional corporation that represents them. And this would allow us to resolve that issue for that community. And I see that potential widening if we address regulation of population size of communities around the state as we improve our access to this program. So this is helpful. The other part of it is the words that in a way manuscripts, I think.
Questions from media members?
I just did not know that Director Harn, I'm curious to understand the department's collaboration with existing PTSD programs on the development of these elements. Are they amenable and in support of the amendments being proposed by the department today?
You know, I've had this training that I've had many discussions with the nonprofits that are granting to this work now. And this yesterday, I had a discussion about my testimony before this. You know, every time I speak here, I'm cautious about how that is perceived by the media and nonprofits. And I want to be really, really careful about how I do that. Whether or not we have complete agreement or not, I can't tell you exactly. Shared off the for that amendment more specifically. I feel comfortable that on the last two amendments, on the last amendment, that I have almost unanimous support from the nonprofits. It's not a matter of training, that I think we have some disagreement, but I'll explain that in a closer at the time we introduce that particular amendment. It's important for me to remember as I talk about this, my goal is to help us improve and create a professional program. I don't have the perspective that they have of having been honored and listened to for quite some time by an agency that I think lost its and that will be so bad whether I'm trying to articulate this in a way that is sensitive to both sides of a program that has not worked as well together as I think as it needs to. And I don't want to become part of that contribute to that another manner in which I testify. So I did have a conversation at some length with them yesterday, and I feel comfortable with the testimony here today.
Thank you so much for that. Seeing you for your discussion, this was explained by Dr. Hard, and the introduction of John Hansu. Is there any further introduction? Thank you, Major. I think for me, I just want to understand that sentence again. It's 4 minutes 6. About Conservation Corporation for a Village, or Alaska Freedom Organization for the Village does not exist, and there's just a one circumstance. You said that that is the question.
Thank you, Chair. For a period of time, there's a little more circumstance that I have to kind of keep it out here. But as I said, as we expand this program, potentially change the criteria for the community to participate, I can see this erupting in other places.
Thank you.
Amendment 3 is the training amendment that I spoke to just a moment ago. On pages 10 and 11, 12, the material and insert instruction in the state's criminal and procedural law, the state's criminal justice system, police procedures, disability training described under ASA 1865-20, subparagraph 3. Domestic violence and substance abuse prevention and response procedures, emergency trauma technician training, search and rescue training, road fire protection training. Page 10, 9.2, following that, insert B, that's the state data in the way that manuals written, or these entries written. Page 10, 9.6, delete equal to or exceed hours. That sounds like a lot, but it's not. It simply removes, 8 hours reflection of 826 hours. And this is where this has become a little sensitive with the nonprofits. At one point in time, they felt unsupported. And because of that level of distrust I have, I think we're with the sponsor today. birthday post. But in some cases, when we get deepest evidence, actually we don't retain the flexibility to ask the training profession the content of the training and the hours of training. We'll adjust, and we need to be flexible and nimble in addressing that year to year. And what I articulated to the IDEs yesterday, and the trustee was sitting in the back, and I know I can speak for him, is that we commit to a very robust regulatory process that would protect the very things that they wanted to import in this country. And I feel comfortable that they understand that and they believe in that. And with that said, I think I will put them in the fall.
Sure. So, in looking at the differences between the existing language and the amendment, it looks like it removes the set of hours associated with the hours of instruction in these respective areas. And if I have to understand your testimony correctly, the intention behind that would be to offer flexibility, but providing the support and needs that the PSE programs have with the opportunity to pursue setting those hours in a robust regulatory process. Do I understand that correctly?
If you want an example to look at, look at the APOC statutes in 1865. The APOC, when it certifies police officers, simply refers to a standard of police training curriculum. They don't articulate the hours because in that situation they recognize that they may have to very well adjust their time. Problems that I think the experience and wisdom in how they articulate the potential for claims.
Thank you for that context. Questions from panelists or discussion? Representative Goss.
Madam Chair, I'm here for many specific reasons why I'm here. I'm just going to ask that this one of the state's criminal procedure law is doesn't mean more than just through the chair of Representative Ortiz. I don't have any position on that one earlier. I think he used that term. I think it goes either way.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And in the regulatory process, will ABCD actually be further defined as well in terms of what testimonials and sexual assault prevention and response to that? Talking about basic curriculum that needs to be covered, or is it only the hours that is the part that gets covered in regulation, and then this is kind of a level of detail that is developed for the actual curriculum?
Yes, those would be articulated. In some cases, they are already required in a particular way. Domestic violence is one of those. So they would be imported into the regulation or created in a regulation in a more definitive way. Where a statute may require a certain course of study, that would be reflected in the regulation as well.
The only thing I've sort of noticed here is, we keep hearing about our safety professionals, how much of their work is addressing health issues. It's just disabilities training, and I don't have that reference in front of me, but do you know if that is, including sort of, all of the kind of mental health crisis model and intervention information that we're trending towards?
I don't think that applies to that. That's one of the circumstances in which the legislature has required specific training. And I believe that goes more towards making certain that officers understand Americans with disabilities and related issues. That's my recollection. But I would also say that while you see A through H, that does not limit the number of places in which the department can impart training in regular New Zealand. And I can assure you that wellness
Dr. Hurley was hoping that we could
return to the session of the high school notes.
The school note 3047 is another ASO component and it reflects the costs of a background investigator and psychological testing. The design testifying to this is complicated by saying there were three amendments. There's really only two amendments. Two components or two pieces of this particular one, and then a second one that I'll speak to briefly. In this component, this one addresses the cost of a background investigator. It would provide the background associated work that reflects the requirements in this new statutory language. Typically, right now, what we do is borrow background resources from the NYSSD troopers. To do that work, and this would allow us to do that in higher level because it's easy for others who've heard in other testimony and other hearings. The recruitment challenges of the LSSD groupers are pretty strong as well, and trying to borrow resources to take these components is becoming more difficult as we address our own recruitment and retention issues. And begin to restore the positions of this program across the state, we'll see whether the right locations and this help us to do that. The psychological testing of this, I think, is overestimated. Those psychological testings are associated with law enforcement centered people as well as with firearms authorization. And while the insurance component allows any of the grantees to employ firearms, holding PPSOs, not having the children to do so. And it's unlikely in the 50 PPSOs that we have on which this estimate is based that 50 would be firearms carrying officers. So I think that's an overstated line. You know, press to give you what that number needs to be. But then in the end, it's that the school.
All right. Do you have any questions from the members?
And to the members of the committee, this fiscal note is actually from the Department of Administrative Services piece of this. So, in the background process, in the language of the statute, we have to then give criminal justice information services to the grantees. And with that, because of the nature of that program, that has to be audited now. But there are only 10 grantees, and it's the thought of administrative services that they would be able to absorb those audits without cost. And so that's the concern of this group that you see from administrative services.
Thank you so much, Director Hart, for walking us through the proposed amendments as well as the fiscal note and how to do briefings. And we are back on the record. Thank you so much, Director Hart, for being here with us today. I would entertain a motion, Representative Ortiz, to move on to the committee.
Thank you. I move from this bill 2013, Work Order 32-L-952-8, as amended from committee with the committee's recommendations in the past fiscal months.
Is there any objection? Seeing and hearing none, House Bill 303 as amended passes from committee. We will now go to his own summary committee. Thank you.